You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
All right, so good evening, everyone. We are actually currently in the series entitled Unchanging. In this world that we have, each and every day, we find new things, especially technology. Like every month, there's a new phone that comes out, there's a new movie to watch, there's a lot of things that we need to adapt to. And in fact, these things happen only in the last 40 or so years. Say, for example, the very first cell phone came out on 1983. If you have used this one, please don't raise your hand, kay Maclaro. But 1983, we had this first phone right here. It's Motorola DynaTAC 8000X. Who among you here had their first cell phone, 3210? 3210, okay. So, nana, 3315, 8210, Nokia pa to sa una, no? Keypads. Kanang dili mo ka tago sa inyong parents nga mag-text-text mo ang gabi. Kay katry mo na. Diba? And we have had a lot of things since then. And that was only 40 years. But now, we have this thing that we call Internet of Things. Na every single device, it can now be connected to the Internet. Say for example, na hilig mo kong technology, good. So I watch kanang mga latest na techs. And there's this tech na he has a cat. Okay, but he travels most of the time. So what he does is he just puts the cat food in a container and access it online wherever he is. He can actually feed his cat. Amazing, diba? And there's a lot of things that's happening around that is changing. And we need to adapt every single time there's a change. But there's something that is unchanging. Even here, you can see it right here. In this generation, you can see that what they are fond of is reading the newspaper. They say that this generation is always on their phones, but in this generation, we can see that actually, that's not new. In this time, newspapers are their smartphones. But for now, this is what's going on, right? Even businessmen, even a toddler as young as 3 years old already has his or her own smartphone. That's how amazing it is. But for tonight, this series is actually, we are going to look at the life of the patriarchs, that's our fathers in faith, and we are going to learn from them. Last year, we had the Unwavering series. So many of you here have joined us with the Unwavering series. It's amazing time to learn what faith is really all about. That is the faith of Abraham. For this year, we are going to have this unchanging, which is looking at faith in the perspective of Isaac, the son of Abraham. And next year, we're supposed to see a series looking at the life of Jacob, the son of Isaac, or we better know as Israel, where the Israelites came from. You know the title of that series? Wala. Of course, no one knows because it is unannounced yet. So, watch out for that series. Di wala binta akong joke. Gi-prepare with ito na ako gabi eh. But for tonight, we're going to look at that in our life as a Christian, it is not enough to have a single type of faith. The Bible tells us that there is always a time for everything. A time to laugh, a time to cry, a time to sow, time to reap. But in the same thing, there's always a type of faith for every single season. The faith that you had in the situation you had then is not enough in order for you to carry on to what you're going through right now. There needs to be a growth and there needs to have another type of faith in order for us to deal with the things that we have on our plates right now. From faith to faith, that is what it means to be a Christian. Tonight we're going deeper into the life of Isaac. So if you have your Bibles with you, please turn them to Genesis chapter 26. That's verses 1 to 14. So Genesis chapter 26, verse 1 says, "Now there was a famine in the land, besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Gerar, to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your offspring, I will give all the lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham, your father. I will multiply the offspring. as the stars of heaven and will give to your offspring all this land. And in your offspring, all of the nations of the earth shall be blessed because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So, that's verse 6. So, Isaac settled in Gerar. When the men of the place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister." For he feared to say, "My wife," thinking lest the men of the place should kill me because of Rebekah, because she was attractive in appearance. When he had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out the window and saw Isaac laughing with Rebekah, his wife. So Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, she is your wife. How then could you say she is my sister?" Isaac said, "Because I thought lest I die because of her." Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us." So Abimelech warned the people, saying, "Whoever touches this man or his wife should surely be put to death." And Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed, and the man became rich and gained more and more until he became very wealthy. Verse 14, he had possessions of flocks and herds and many servants, so that the Philistines envied him. So, in the Bible, every time you read the Bible, in those times, when they write, they don't actually have the things that we have. Say, for example, if we're going to put emphasis, the things that we write, we either, all caps, if magteksta, masuko ta, di ba? We put the text on bold. But for the writers in the biblical times, they don't have these things. What they have, in order for them to put emphasis into something, they repeat the word or a sentence or a phrase or an event so that people would understand that there is so much gravity in the things that he or she is saying. Okay? So repetitions simply put emphasis into a thought. Now, if we are going to look into the life of Isaac right here in these verses, we are going to see that there have been so much repetitions in these events. Say, for example, this one. Verse 1, "Now there was a famine in the land besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham." So basically, it gives us a picture that in the time of Abraham as well, he or they also experienced a famine. Now, what is a famine? Famine is something like having drought. Or a picture of there's no more water, there's no more food to take, and life is very difficult in these times. So basically, what famine does is it always puts fear, doubt into, say for example, in your bank accounts right now, you only have 10 pesos and ang sweldo is like 2 weeks from now. Isn't it a difficult 10 pesos? Like di mo lang 1 peso per day? Lord, sorry, God, isn't it difficult? And when we are put into these situations, the tendency is for us to run into things that are actually not good. And that is the case as well for Isaac. Famine surfaces what's really in our hearts. So, for example, for this one, so you can see a body of water to be safe. So once there is drought, you can see these portions right here, and if it is clean, then good. But if it's not, then it's going to be shameful. But the point is, famine in our lives is just a matter of time. It's not a question if or not we are going to experience famine in our life. The reality is, famine is inevitable. But the question is, in what part of your life right now that you have some kind of famine? Is it financial? Is it relational? What is it in your life right now that you are experiencing a famine? Or if you're not experiencing a famine right now, well, good. But again, in our lifetime, famine always repeats itself. As human beings, we are not going to be fully secured that we are going to have extreme comfort in our life. So what Isaac did, it is not mentioned here, but basically, Isaac, just like his father did, he went to Egypt. He is en route to Egypt, but at this time, he is still in Gerar. So he went to Gerar, which is actually, say for example, you're riding a Ceres bus, di ba? before you reach a destination, you have stopovers. So basically, Gerar is the last stopover before you go to Egypt. And Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. So the question is, why is it that every time the people of God, every time there's drought, there's difficulties, why do they always go to Egypt? If you're going to read the Genesis part and even Exodus, they always go to Egypt. It seems to be that the people of God, in times na magipit sila, sa Egypt sila mukapit. Why? Simply because, walagi hapon yung patok ang joke, magundang natin eh. Okay, simply because Egypt, in that time, they have this body of water called the Nile River. Now, if everything else is in drought or there's a famine, of course, it is logical to go there because that is where the source of water is. So isn't it good? Isn't it good that in times of famine, we go to this place of comfort where there's actually the things that you need? Why is it that God, we don't know yet, but in a while we're going to know that God is always going to stop people to go to Egypt. That's simply because in Egypt, there's a lot of races going on. And there's a lot of gods and false teachings and false securities that is being fed into his people. Sounds familiar? Isn't it that every time that we face problems in our life, we always tend to find a way in order for us to solve our problem? And most of the times, the things that we think of, it's not actually good. There's a certain degree that we can actually compromise. Business problem, if I'm going to do this, it would cost me a lot. So what if I take this out, maybe it's okay. Compromise. If for the students, if you haven't studied, we, instead of looking up and trusting God, we look to the left and to the right, searching for answers. Compromise. Each and every time, yes, it goes to show that famine and being blessed are not actually the indicators by which we are honoring God. You could be in a famine right now, but you are honoring God. You could be in a place of blessing right now, but you are not actually honoring God. I cannot say for you which is which, but you know, are you honoring God? Gerar right here is a place, like what I've mentioned a while ago, is the last stop going to Egypt. Verse 2, and the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you." Again, this happened to Abraham. But the thing with Abraham was, he actually reached Egypt. But for this time around, for his son Isaac, he was intervened by God, or something happened. God clearly spoke to him, "Do not go down to Egypt." The commandment was sojourn in this land and these things. Isn't it the promises of God? I will be with you. I will bless you. For to you and your offspring, I will give all these lands. Gerar actually is like a mountainous area, so you can actually see the lands around. And I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham, your father. If you can notice, these four right here are promises from God. I will be with you. It is a promise of presence. I will bless you. A promise of provision. For to you and to your offspring, that's posterity, or to the next generations. Amazing, no? And I will give you all these lands. A blessing or a promise of prosperity. You know what? It's not only the government who has the four-piece program. God also has his own. See for yourself. So that is, imagine yourself na parang you are having a drought or you're experiencing a drought, but at this time, God clearly spoke to you. And they cannot actually ask at that time, "Lord, is this your will?" Simply because it is God who appears to them. So di siya kaingon nga, "Lord, sure ka, God nga, willin ni mo."
Sure.
It's clear that it is God who spoke to them. So verse 4, the promise continues. Opa siya naman. "I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and I will give to you your offsprings all these lands. And in your offspring, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Grabe, kabalik-balik ng offsprings. So daghan jud kay siya og next generations. And the best part right here for me is that he says that all nations shall be blessed. If God is going to bless us, you know what? It is not only for yourself. God's blessing is too big only for you to hoard. God's promise is enough that he is going to bless you. People around you are going to be blessed as well. It is not enough to say na, you know what? I am so blessed in this thing right now that I am doing, or my business, or my whatever, my work, or this endeavor. I am so blessed. Why? Because I have so much money now. Is it a blessing to be in that place and wala na kay ever nakita sa church, wala na kay fellowship with other people, ikaw lang? Do you consider that thing a blessing? Again, a blessing is not only for you. It is for the people around you as well. Verse 5, a reason here. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So if you are a person who have been clearly spoken by God, his promises, no matter how clear things are going on, of course, you are going to obey. And that is exactly how Isaac responded. So are we in a good position right now? Yes? No? Yes, diba? Simply because Isaac obeyed. That is a good thing. That's a plus points for Isaac. So we pause right here. And go. Verse 7. When the men of the place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister," for he feared to say my wife, thinking, "Lest the men of the place should kill me because of Rebekah, because she was attractive in appearance." The difference right here, yes, it's a repetition of the things that happened on Abraham a while ago, but the difference right here is that Isaac actually did not plan these things through. Before Abraham went into Egypt, he planned, nag-orientation sila ni Sarah. You know what, Sarah? Ako yung nun nga kuhan, kay madlo ko nga patyon ko. So I'm going to tell a sister, okay? Sister ta. But right here, we see that it is a spur of the moment thing. They being asked, ako anin ako siya, sister. Oh, sister. Yeah, sister. Oh, okay, sister. For he feared. Why? Why did this thing happen again? For he feared. Come on now. Don't sleep yet. Because she was attractive. And if your fear is one of the worst decision motivators leading to nothing but compromise. If the decision that you do right now is simply out of so that I will be comfortable, so that I will have more of these things, I guess, tell you what, it does not mean that that is the will of God. Fear is not a good motivation as Christians. Fear is the opposite of faith. It could be that your faith will push you towards something or a place of uncomfortable place at this season. But guess what? If you are going to push through and obey, great things are in store for you. When he had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out the window and saw Isaac laughing. Remember, last week we have learned that the word Isaac, the name Isaac, actually means he laughs. So basically, this right here, Isaac laughing, is a play on the word Isaac, which means laughing, which means Isaac is actually being himself. And other translations will tell you that there's caressing involved, or playful caressing, with Rebekah, his wife. So clearly, they have seen that, I'm sure these guys are like old. Do you play like that with your brother or your sister? Of course not, right? It goes to show that they're actually married. So Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, she is your wife. How then could you say, 'She is my sister'?" Isaac said to him, "Because I thought, there's this thing right here, I thought." Meaning, there is just an overthinking involved. Sometimes, it is bad for us to overthink things. There's a reason why, in the first place, God didn't want us to have the complete knowledge of good and evil. Because he wants us to completely put our faith in him. But now, the more that we think, the more that we worry, the more we calculate, because we think that we are greater than God, we calculate things. And ato ang koan, budgeting, abot nag 2023, Ay, nakakamaayo, but guess what? It will not do you good. Lest I die because of her. Abimelech said, what is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us. So Abimelech warned the people, saying, whoever touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Amazing. Grabe yung grace that's going on right here. Of course, Isaac and Rebecca has been found guilty of a lie, of a sin that could actually cause people to be guilty, to be put to death. But what happens? He has been blessed. Is it because lying was good? I don't know. But for some reason, the mercy of God has been completely put into display in this situation right here. Because God is faithful. In the first place, the reason why Isaac is breathing and is alive is because of the faithfulness of God. Remember Abraham and Sarah? They were not supposed to have a child. But here comes Isaac breathing right now. The only conclusion that we can draw is God is faithful and He is unchanging. Verse 12, and Isaac sowed in that land. Grabe response, no? Gikasukan siya, tagan siya blessings. Unsa ang ibuhat? And Isaac sowed in the land. He could actually had many people do this for him. But for some reason, Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And that is exactly a complete miracle right there. Remember what's going on around? We're not certain if the famine is actually done. But for some reason, Isaac sowed and he has actually reaped in the same year 100-fold. Amazing grace. Why? How has this been possible? The Lord blessed him. And the man became rich and gained more and more until he became very wealthy. He had possessions of flocks and herds and many servants, so that the Philistines envied him. So that is the complete story that we have actually discussed. Is the story good? Of course it is good, simply because it ended with a blessing. But looking at into these things completely in the perspective of Isaac, what is it that Isaac has actually done to deserve all these blessings? He compromised. He was en route going to Egypt, which God clearly said that don't go to Egypt in the previous generations. But he disobeyed. He is en route to Egypt. Yes, he obeyed in Gerar, but he lied regarding his wife because of fear, which is immediately the negation of faith. And after all these things, he has still been blessed. God has been faithful. Once again, I'm going to repeat the story because that's the sense of what we're telling here, right? In the first place, I told you a while ago, repetition puts emphasis. So let's rewind again to the story. These are the things that has been repeated into the story that we have just discussed. Number one, famines. In this world, in this lifetime, as a human being, as a mortal, it is but natural for us to experience famines. In the Philippines, we encounter a lot of storms each year. Some are, it's okay. Some are very strong. But it is expected for us to have a famine. What are your famines today? Financial? Maybe you're having a shortage right now, and you have a lot of bills to pay. You have a lot of plans to travel, but you have pang panihapon gani, wala, di ba? Or what's your family right now? If you are a married person right here, if you are not having a good time with your spouse, with a person you are in a relationship with, is it right to actually go to a place of comfort and find affection from another person? Famines makes us do the things that are not actually right. Compromise. It causes us to go to our Egypt. Again, the same thing that Abraham did, Isaac has done as well, which is to go to Egypt. Yes, there's comfort. There's a promise of provision. But is it actually what God is telling you to do right now? As Filipinos, it is common for us to go abroad, right? And we would like to claim that it is the will of God for me because I'm going to be so much blessed. I'm not saying that that is a wrong thing to do. What I am saying is it the thing that God is telling you to do? Is it God's will for your life? Waiting the family or provision, watching my kids grow, money, security. I can't decide for you. But one thing is for sure, if it is God's will, then go and obey. Blessings can draw us away. Contrary to what we believe, we might think that, okay, Lord, I'm so blessed, so I'm going to serve you. No. Most of the times when we are so blessed, we go away from God. We away from the church. We go away from the people that actually pushes us to be better simply because we are in comfort. We think to ourselves that, okay, the things that I'm doing right now is good. I am well provided for. I can travel. I can buy many clothes and buy the cars that I need. But is it really God's will for you? Blessings have a tendency to draw us away from God. Famines bring us closer to God. When was that very moment that you have given your life to God? Was it in a time that everything has been okay? Isn't it that time that you surrender your life to God, you can go nowhere else? You have done everything that you think you can do to solve the problem. You have gone to the people for advice, gone to these places, gone to these people, but guess what? At the end of the day, it is only God that could rescue you. Isn't it that in the time of famine, we have been strengthened? Interventions. For Abraham, the intervention has been that God has actually appeared to Abimelech in a form of a dream, telling that Sarah is actually the wife of Abraham. For this guy right here, Isaac, it was enough for the Abimelech to see them, for Isaac laughing to Rebecca. But I believe that that has still been an intervention from God. Interventions are necessary for us to completely reroute ourselves to the right path. God's no is not always a denial. It's a fact that there will be times that God would firmly say no to us. But there will also be times that His no is not a denial, but it is actually rerouting us. There's this thing called a mid-course correction for the pilots, or who among you here are familiar with planes, paper plane. For a plane is actually a definite pathway, airway, where they are going to travel. There's a certain direction, there's a certain altitude, but there will be times na out of their control, there's going to be weather, the strong wind that could cause them to actually divert their path. But each and every time, mid-course correction is necessary for them to reach the right direction. It could be that what you're experiencing right now is actually a redirection to where God is telling you to go. Say, for example, you're a student here. You have been praying for so long. You have been believing God since you were a child to attend this university. But what if, as good as that university is or that place is, if that is not the will of God for you, are you still willing to go? What if that is actually a trap for you where you are going to suffer and God doesn't want that to happen to you? God is a better plan. Sometimes His redirections are actually better things, or would actually put you in a better place. You simply need to trust God. What are God's seemingly painful no's for you today? Ask yourself that. Promises. Number four, the same promise that He has given to Abraham, He has given to Isaac. We fight fear and grow faith by holding on so tightly to God's promises. So what are His promises for you today? You know what? The Bible has a lot of promises. Every single promise that He gives to His people, to every main character that you read, is actually a promise we could claim. when he said to Abraham that there's going to be a lot of possessions that's going to come, we can actually claim that. But with the right heart, what are God's promises for you today? Number five is obedience. We cannot lie. Obedience is difficult. As Christians, we say that there's a lot of laws and obeying is sometimes difficult. But guess what? Pain in obedience is totally worth it. In this lifetime, you are always going to experience pain. But isn't it a better place to be when that pain is in a place of obedience to God? Pain is inevitable. Obedience is difficult. But what gives you a better way for you to obey is actually knowing what your worth is. You need to know your motivation. What are your motivations to obey? Obey in faithfulness. Sometimes we have the wrong motivation of obey. Lord, I'm going to do this as difficult as it is. I'm going to give this as difficult as it is. I'm going to bless this person as difficult as it is because I know, God, that you're going to give me 10-fold, 100-fold. Obedience, in order for you to be blessed by God, that is not a good motivation to have. What if God is not going to give you? Does that change that God is faithful? Obey in faithfulness. Obey out of love. Obey simply because you know and you have experienced how great God is as a father, as a provider, as your friend. Six, compromise. This is where we always fall. Each and every time we are in a place of famine, we pray to God, Lord, I need you right now. Then God is going to raise us to bless us. And in the place of blessing, we are now going to have compromise. We say that, okay, God, I'm okay na. Okay, later na po ka. We are thinking that God is only a Savior, but guess what? He is a Lord. Before He is your Savior, He is your Lord. And this thing that we call fear right here, false expectations appearing real, it is a mockery of faith and therefore a mockery of God. The moment that we say for ourselves that even before consulting to God, I'm going to do this, it's going to be better, we are like saying that we are better than God. When we think of that, if that is our perception, it will determine our direction. Whether we go to the left, to the right, to Egypt, or to where God would lead us, perception determines direction, and direction determines your destiny. Who are you willing to obey? Where is your faith hinged right now? More specifically, to whom is your faith hinged to right now? Next is blessings. Finally, blessings. God's blessings are too big for you to enjoy alone. Remember the last verse? Na Isaac have been blessed so much that the Philistines are actually envied him. Are you actually an Israelite? Are you a people of God? Or are you a Philistine? Do we actually know that God has a lot of things in store for us? That every time we're praying for something and God gives us a small thing, it's enough or more than enough for us. But when we look to the left, then there, we also have a neighbor that has been blessed by more. We say, God, Lord, I think and I know I'm better than that person, but why is that person having better life than me? He has traveled more places. He have done more things in this life. But God, I'm obeying you. I love you, God. Why am I in this place? Don't you know that God is faithful? And God's will is perfect in the perfect time, not yours, but His. But it would always be perfect. Blessings are not the indicators of being inside the will of God. Being blessed is knowing and experiencing God Himself. Blessings are not just the physical things, the experiential things in this lifetime. The fat paycheck, that's more than those things. Blessing is knowing and having a personal relationship with God. And knowing that He is enough. That is what it means to be hashtag I am blessed. It's not being in Starbucks and having that Instagrammable feed. It's more than that. Number five, Verse 5, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commands, my statutes, and my laws, that is why, this is the reason why Isaac have actually been blessed. For us, how are we sure that we could actually be blessed by God? Guess what? There has been a greater obedience than the one that has been displayed by Abraham. Jesus himself died for you and I. For Abraham, Abraham is a sinner just like you and I. Isaac, a sinner as well, just you and I. That's the encouragement here. The patriarchs of faith are sinful as well, just like you and I. They have tried so much and failed many times, but God is faithful. That is more than enough for us. Jesus himself died in a death that is most painful, the most shameful way to die, in order for us to experience what we have right now and to experience the greater promise that he has for the future. So I hope and pray that we trust God, that he is faithful. We are blessed because of Jesus' obedience. After all these things, after the repetitions of the ups and downs in the lives of Isaac, it did not stop with Isaac. The story continues and the Bible continues with the same ups and downs and spirals and whatnot. But at the end of the day, one thing remained, and that is that God is unchanging. He is faithful in our unfaithfulness. Guess what? God remains faithful. So whatever it is that you're going through right now, let this be your assurance that God is actually faithful. It's not about you. There's no sin that's big enough for us not to go back to God. There's not a shameful deed that we have done in the past that could actually condemn us. And it is greater than God's gift to us. You have been bought with a price. And that price has been Jesus. Let me just pray for all of us. Lord, thank you, God, for this time. Thank you, God, for your people, God. Thank you that tonight, as we have seen, God, in the life of Isaac, God, we know, God, that it's just a matter of time before we have or we are going to experience the famines in our lifetime, God. And even for some of us right now, we're actually going through that famine. I don't know about you, but we all experience those things. Maybe for you, it's a famine of relationship. Things are not going well with your family. A famine with finances. A famine with breakthroughs in the business. A famine of faith. A famine of testimonies. When was the last time you had a testimony from God? But at the end of the day, all it needs or all it takes for us is to simply go back to God. Listen to what God is telling to you right now. For surely God has a message for you and only for you, specific only for you and your situation. It's not only a faith for our leaders, a faith for the person beside you, but I am talking to you. God wants to tell you that he has a plan for you and that he is faithful.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.